Good evening. First of all, I would like to thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity. And also, secondly, I thank the elders of this assembly for giving me this opportunity. A couple of months back, on Sunday afternoon, Dr. Sam Matai called me and asked me to coordinate on the Wednesday Bible study series in the new names of God. Immediately, I said, okay, I'll do it. Whatever I do it for the glory of God. So today, as we start off on this new series, today will be an introduction and study. And then later on for the next few months, we have listed down about 30-35 names of God and titles of God. And we have several brothers lined up for this series of studies. So today we'll start off on the introduction part. And we will learn how God, when we know the names of God, how God will really spiritually bless us and bring glory to his name. Let's start off with reading from one verse from Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. And these are the words of Agur. Verses 3 and 4. I neither learned wisdom, nor I have knowledge of the Holy One. Verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fists? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? When Agur confesses that he neither has wisdom nor knowledge of the Holy One, verse 4 gives us like four sets of questions. It says the greatness of God. The first one, God has having access to the heights and depths of the universe, which nobody knows. The second one is the second point he talks about. The second question he talks about his control, the massive control over the massive wind, the power of wind. The third one, he talks about the waters, containing the waters either in the clouds, above the earth or in the ocean. And fourthly, he knows the boundaries of the land masses. Can anybody tell what is his name? That is the question which Agur puts down here. But as we read through the scriptures, there are these questions, these answers, these questions are answered only by the revelation of God. We do not have wisdom. Our wisdom is very, very limited, which cannot comprehend the names, the power, the greatness of God. So only God reveals us himself, like which he has done for Job in chapters 38 and 39, when he has having the discourse. God reveals of his omnipotence to Job. Secondly, in Moses, when God talks to Moses and tells, go and lead my people, he says, what should I tell to these people? What is the name of you? And God says, I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That in Exodus 3:6. And then later on in Exodus 3:13, he says, I am who I am. That is what the name of the God is. But also, God reveals a lot of names to Abraham. And that is what my study is this evening part. So if you could turn on to the next few minutes, to Genesis, I will go through several verses in Genesis from chapter 12 to 22. So where I would like to see how God reveals his greatness, his incomprehensible, so mighty, so powerful, so omnipotent. So we'll talk about that. Let's start off reading from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, now look at the word Lord. Who is this Lord here? For this to get answered, keep your hand at chapter 12 and then comes to Acts chapter 7. There's a lot of verses which I would like to refer today. So please bear with me. Acts chapter 7. The Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, of your family, or from your father's house to the land which I show to make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. That is what God tells to. Who is this Lord who is telling? Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Here Stephen is speaking to the high priest there. And he said, Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. The Lord which is there in chapter 12 of Genesis is the God of glory. I just want to... Yeah. So he is our God of glory. There are names associated with this. These are called compounded names of the Lord and Jehovah. God of glory, El Ahavgavet. He is the God of glory who has first appeared to Abraham in Mesopotamia. And he tells, you come out of your country, you come out of your family, you come out of your father's house, and I will take you to a land where I'm going to bless you. That is the first appearance of the Lord or to Abraham. And then this appearance, this personal appearance to Abraham, that is the, when Abraham departed, as the Lord has spoken to him, into the land of Canaan, to the place called Shechem, Abraham's faith was increased. Abraham, in faith, he has shown in faith, and he has came out of the country. And when he has developed that faith, verse 7, and the Lord appeared to Abraham again. This is the second time which Abraham, the Lord is appearing to Abraham and said, to your descendants, I will give you this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. When the God of glory appeared to Abraham, two things. One is he was in faith, he obeyed and he came out of the country. The second thing is that he is he's worshiping the Lord. Look at how the Lord, God of glory, when he has appeared to Abraham, he has put him in faith, and also he has developed to worship him. That is how God appears to Abraham. Second name of God, after several years, Melchizedek introduces Abraham to another God's name. Let's come to Genesis chapter 14. Verses 18 onwards. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. The second name which God revealed himself through Melchizedek is God Most High. He is El Elyon, God Most High. And what does he say? And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God of Most High, who has delivered enemies into your hand. When we see here, what a profound impact it is having on Abraham here. He's talking about God Most High, God above every other God, who is way above every other God. I don't know whether there are any other gods in this, but he's God Most High. When we go into verses 22 and 23, here we see King of Sodom. Now, before we go into 22 and 23, the whole chapter of 14, there are several kings here. Each a group of kings divided between King of Elam and also King of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were fighting among themselves. In that fight, Abraham's nephew Lot, he was taken captive, and he was taken captive by King of Elam. Even the King of Sodom lost that. He lost his possessions, he lost his goods and everything. Now Abraham goes and fights against King of Elam and comes back with Lot and also gets back all the women, the goods and everything and the people. And there he speaks it. Now, verse 21 of chapter 14. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Now here, king of Sodom is telling, give me all the persons and take the goods. Basically, he's saying, I will give you the riches, I will give you the goods. But what did Abraham say? Verse 22. And Abraham said to king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. He is claiming, my God, who is the Most High God, El Elyon, I have raised a hand and I will take nothing from you. Verse 23, that I will take nothing from a thread to the sandal of staff, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you shall say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham saying that, I will not take anything for you. Whatever I need, whatever dependence I have, It is the God Most High. So the second name which God reveals to Abraham is God Most High, El Elyon. The third name which God reveals, or rather we see like a God are revealing to Abraham is Lord God. He's Adonai. Verses chapter 15, verse 1 onwards. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in the vision. Now here it's a vision, not an appearance here, and says, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? We know that Abraham doesn't have a son. And he continues, seeing that I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then God says that is not your child, that is not your heir, but the one shall come out of your, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Here we see that God is giving a promise to Abraham that I'm going to give you a son, not through somebody else, not through a bondwoman, which we see in the later chapters, but through your own body. That is what I'm going to give you. And verse 6. So when God promises that, what did he do? He believed in the Lord and he counted to him for his righteousness. Look at how Abraham is spiritually growing one after the other when God is revealing his names, or rather the names of the Lord, or through these chapters. Verse 6, he says, he believed, his faith was more enhanced so that he believed. God took him as his righteousness. We see the same words, or rather accounted it to him for his righteousness in Romans, I think chapter 14, he talks about, or rather Romans chapter 4, he talks about four times there that it is accounted when he believed in the Lord, it was accounted as his righteousness. We see here the Lord God, who is our Adonai. Then we come to the fourth one, chapter 17, and one more name God reveals to Abraham. Chapter 17, verse 1 onwards. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Here we see God Almighty, El Shaddai. He is our Almighty God. And when we see here from verse 2 to verse 8, this is the covenant which we got reminded last Sunday also to Brother Alex. We see the covenant here, the Abrahamic covenant we see, where the God Almighty is all-sufficient God. What he does is, with his unconditional everlasting covenant, he does two things here. He changes his name from Abraham, who is the exalted father, to Abraham, the father of the multitude. And what does it? He gives seven things here in this verses from 2 to 8. He talks about, I am the Almighty God, and he talks about seven things here. I'll make a covenant between me, that is God, and you, multiply you exceedingly, make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, kings shall come out of you. I will give you and your descendants after you land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. And finally, the spiritual, the most important one, I will be their God. That is what the Almighty God is talking. The El Shaddai is talking to Abraham. These are the things which we see how spiritually God is enriching Abraham through his various names. When we talk about all these names several times, we read these names. But why are the God revealing these names to you? Why should we learn these names to you? The only thing is that when we learn these names, we get our faith enriched. We believe in our God. We glorify our God. We worship the Lord through these names. We can use this name, oh, Most High God, oh, Almighty God. This is how we are supposed to pray. This is how we are supposed to get our spiritual growth in this. Fifth one. Can you come to chapter 18? One more name which we see here. Chapter 18, verse 3 onwards. We can start off from verse 18, from verse 1 onwards. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran out of the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord, here we see Jehovah Eli." Here we see Jehovah Eli. So two things happen in this chapter 18. One is the son of the promise. That is what God talks about. I'm going to give you a son. We see in chapter 16 in about Hagar and Ishmael. That is the son of a bondwoman. But we see here the son of the promise, the son of a free woman. Abraham is saying, my Lord, Jehovah Eli. Verse 13 and 14, and the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to her according to the time of the life, and Sarah shall have a son.'" This is the promise which we see in Abraham. And then in the same chapter, from verse 16 onwards, Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Basically, he's interceding for Lot. Lot is in Sodom, and so he intercedes. One verse which I like from this chapter is, because when you see continuously the spiritual growth of Abraham, he understands the nature, the character of the Lord. And he, one verse which is very, very, dear to me was in verse 25 in the later part, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Here we see that he's telling that, "Shall not the judge," he's recognizing the God is the judge of all the earth, and he's going to do the right thing. That is Jehovah Eli. And then and we come to chapter 21. Here we see one more name of God being introduced, or rather Abraham talks about. In this chapter, we see two things here. Again, Isaac is being born. The promise has been fulfilled through Sarah, which is basically the son of the promise, the son of the free woman. And then in the later part of this 21 chapter, we see a covenant being established with Abimelech. We know about Abimelech and Abraham and what he has done. And he wanted to take Sarah, but later on God intervened there. And then he establishes a covenant here in chapter 21 and verses from 22 onwards. We see a covenant established. So when he has got the son of the promise, that is Isaac is being born, and also the covenant is being established with Abimelech. Verse 33, he says, "Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." That is one more name which God introduces, or rather he calls upon an everlasting God, which is El Olam, which is the everlasting God. This is, he has no beginning and no end. This is the sixth name which God we see God revealing to Abraham. And then finally, when we come to chapter 22 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It is a picture of our Father and the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We see here for the first time, the word love is being introduced in the Bible. And we see three times this word is used, this phrase is used, "your only son Isaac," in verse 2, 12 and 16. We see the verse 2, 12 and 16, where "your only son Isaac" is being said. He is the son, he is the promised son. And in this chapter, we see a verse, this is a descriptive name of our Lord, which says in verse 8, "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.'" That is in verse 8. And when we come to 14, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day. The Lord will provide. Our Lord is Jehovah Jireh. So the seven names, when God reveals to Abraham, last Sunday, Brother Arthur was sharing about Abraham and how he was materially and spiritually blessed through these several chapters. But when we see the God, or rather Abraham, calling on the name of the Lord through these several names, we are seeing that his character, his person, his might, out everything being revealed, his faith has been established, his dependence been strengthened on the Lord, his worship. We see several times Abraham worshiping being on the name of the Lord. And as we are reminded here, as we continue to study on the names of God, we will be knowing about these names, the character, the personality, the strength, the might, the power of the Lord in this next several weeks and months probably. And then when we study all this, as we how fitting that we fear and honor his name, giving him glory, giving him worship, trusting him for all the names that we learn in the next weeks and months to come. So all the other names which I have listed down, which God has revealed to Abraham, there are many, many other names in the Bible which we can come across, but these are the thoughts which I have studied through in my quiet time with the Lord. So may these words add to the edification of each one of us. Thank you.